going on, guys? Welcome to a new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some great game on today's broadcast, as we always do. Let everybody know that we're live right now. Retweet, repost on Facebook. We're live doing our thing. Everybody hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. But after that commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back to chop up game right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us, follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H Report 2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Dave Anderson is passionate about helping our people get out of the rat race and getting into entrepreneurship. You've seen Dave Anderson on The Breakfast Club, Forbes, Black Enterprise, CNN, Fox News, spitting facts about business and entrepreneurship for our people. Dave Anderson has also generated $54 million for his clients last year, and he wants to help you grow your business. Go to thebusinessbully.com and connect with an amazing group of people that's going to help you start and expand your business. Head to, again, thebusinessbully.com right now and sign up for the Inner Circle Bootcamp and get top-notch training right now. Thebusinessbully.com right now.
Looking to minimize the possibility of exposure to COVID-19 or the coronavirus? Then head over to iwantamask.com. We have face masks that have been approved by the FDA. Our price is $10 per mask plus $1.95 shipping. We offer discounts and free shipping for large orders. Check iwantamask.com for details.
Check out the book Jennifer's Chaos. This is a romance crime novel by author Robert Fletcher. Jennifer's Chaos is about a young woman who lives with her drug-dealing, manipulative mother who arranges a marriage between Jennifer and a young man with connections. This is a very intriguing story, so you need to get the book and follow Jennifer as she navigates around her mother and criminals to find love. Jennifer's Chaos, available right now on Amazon as an ebook and paperback. The law offices of Don R. Dennis Jr. specializes in solving complicated business law issues. If your business is operating online, you need to holler at Don R. Dennis Jr. so he can put you up on game. He has solved many internet law issues, and you can read some of his client reviews on avvo.com. His office right now is offering free Zoom live stream webinars to give you information on how your business can remain profitable during this pandemic. Go to dondennislaw.com or give him a call at 213-455-0880. Right now, the corona outbreak is taking its toll on a lot of people. A lot of people are stuck in the house most of the day. Meanwhile, your bills keep piling up and you need to do something. So you need to check out the Work From Home series by Elijah, author of the book, The Anatomy of Financial Success. He will show you the ways he makes money working out of the home, ranging from developing marketable skills and invoicing clients for the services that you provide. All you need to do is check out realmoneysuccess.com, realmoneysuccess.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's Black population. A small group of Black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, we're back, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We are back, we are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in today, ladies and gentlemen, on this beautiful day out here live from sunny Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are being safe during the quarantine and all that stuff. I hope you guys have gone to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5. And don't forget, you can get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, because a lot of people are talking about that movie again. You can get that at 1804movie.com. That's 1804movie.com. So ladies and gentlemen, first of all, hit that thumbs up button. Everybody hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button, hit that up right now, and hit the subscribe button if you have not already subscribed. So let's get right into it. Today's topic, we're talking about sexual projection. And I want to talk about this because Katie Couric, white female reporter who's been in the game for a long time. Remember, Katie Couric worked with Matt Lauer for a long time. And Matt Lauer, you know, he's been accused of sexual indiscretions. Matt Lauer, he has been on the hot seat. But, you know, they just transfer these white alleged predators. They don't put them in jail or anything like that. But just for the record, Katie Couric, she worked with Matt Lauer for years, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out there. And also, there's a lot of photos with Katie Couric running around with Harvey Weinstein and all that. But I'm just throwing that out there just to let you know. But Katie Couric recently did an interview. And she brought up Denzel Washington. And what she did, I think it was extremely tacky. It was some white supremacist tactic that she was doing. She should be called out for this garbage that she pulled. We have to understand with these suspected white supremacists, they always have to get the heat off themselves. Right now, Biden is on the hot seat. And Katie Couric, she's a liberal. You know, she toes the line for the liberal side of the game. But right now, a lot of these liberals are out here caping for Biden because there's a lot of, you know, there's these sex allegations, these sexual impropriety allegations against Biden. They're getting real heavy right now. So they're getting all of their people to toe the line for Biden. Forget about all that believe all women talk. See, that's for the black folks. And speaking of that, Tyrannosaurus Burke, she was out here talking about, well, we can have Biden accountable, but he's still electable. So she's out here caping for Biden. Miss Me Too herself. Well, we can't be too mad at her because she told us it's not her job to go after white men. So Tyrannosaurus Burke, she told us what the deal was. She told us it was not her job to go after white daddy. So we shouldn't be surprised by that. She told us, and she goddamn well meant that. Her credibility should just completely be shot at this point. All that believe all women believe the victims, all women are victims, believe the women. Oh, white daddy? No. Believe white daddy. So she's a complete damn joke at this point, which she was always a joke. But when it comes to criticizing White Daddy, they have to come up with a cool smoke screen. And it looks like with this thing they were doing with Denzel, looks like they're trying to create their smoke screen with Denzel. They need a big, loud smoke screen. They need a big, loud distraction. So what they did, Katie Couric did this interview talking about an interview she did with Denzel back in 2004. Family, this is 16 years ago. And she's talking about how uncomfortable the interview made her. And the language she's using and the language the media is using, they're wording this thing as if Katie Couric was damn near sexually assaulted by Denzel. This is not an accident, family. This is not an accident. And I think it's completely despicable the way they're doing this. I'm going to play this recent interview that Katie Couric did. Before I do that, let me read the transcripts. Let me read the transcripts of the interview she's talking about that she did in 2004. It was Denzel, Meryl Streep, and a couple of other people. They were promoting the movie The Manchurian Candidate. And Katie Couric asked Denzel, she said, Denzel, do you feel like, you know, some people say that Hollywood folks should stick to acting? So she was kind of being a little condescending to Denzel a little bit. So he corrected her like a real G is supposed to. And he said, I don't know what Hollywood folks are. First of all, Hollywood is a town that has some stars on the sidewalk. I don't know anybody from there. So I don't know, you know, that's like saying calling you a type of folks. I'm not a Hollywood folk. I don't know who they are. Then Katie Couric says, okay, all right, well, let me rephrase the question. Are you one of those people that, and he stopped her. He said, wait, oh, there you go. Am I one of those people? Huh, that's interesting. Katie was like, oh, stop, stop, stop. He said, no, don't stop. I heard what you said. Am I one of those people? No, I'm not. And she said, no, you are an actor who would rather not. And he cut her off. He said, no, I'm not that either. I'm a human being. My job is acting. Okay, are you somebody who would rather not express his political views publicly? Would I rather keep it private? No, I'm not one of those people. I think I speak what's on my mind. So that's the exchange they had that she had a problem with. He was correcting her. Because, you know, they get around black folks, these suspected white supremacists, especially these suspected white supremacist liberal women, and they'll try to talk down to black people. So he got her straight. He's like, let's word your questions right. And all that, you people, come on now, let's be clear. Let's word this stuff right. I'm not some little sucker you talking to here. So he got her right. He checked her in a very cool way. It wasn't disrespectful. And let me show you something here too. There's another interview that Denzel did later on with the sister. She said something similar about Hollywood people. And I want y'all to hear how he answered this. And I think the way he answered the question with Katie Couric was a similar way, okay? So it wasn't a disrespectful thing. Hold on 1 second. Where is it? Oh God, I gotta find it. Hold on 1 second. Let me find it real quickly. But I don't think that he did it in a disrespectful way. Hold on 1 second. I should have been ready with this. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I'm about to pull it up now. And okay, here it is right here. Okay.
I did want to ask you guys really quickly, as someone who's married in Hollywood, both of you, black men married to black women for a number of years in Hollywood, what is the secret to that long-lasting marriage? And are the temptations in Hollywood, are they difficult to overcome?
See, people, first of all, they say in Hollywood, like that's a place. We're in the movie business, mm-hmm. and we live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but I'm not in Hollywood. I don't have anything. I don't know what that really means to be in Hollywood. I have a good job. I'm an ordinary guy with an extraordinary job, mm-hmm. and I like to do a good job what I'm doing, and pay the bills and take care of my family.
Okay.
But
the, okay.
in Hollywood, there's no place where Hollywood people, or maybe there is a place where Hollywood people meet, but I don't go there.
They're not working.
Yeah, they're not working. That's right.
Okay, so that's the way he answers that question. People have said, hey, how is it like being in Hollywood? And he corrects them. He's like, well, you know, I'm an actor. I don't really know what Hollywood is. So it was it wasn't disrespectful whatsoever. Now, this was a sister who asked them that, and, you know, wasn't offensive, as you can hear the connotation of it, okay? You hear the connotation of it. You hear the context of it. So Katie Couric, she worded her exchange with Denzel damn near as if it was a fucking rape. Now, I want y'all to hear the interview she did. No, so she got real Karen-like. She got real Becky-fied. And this is her. I mean, she's pulling out all the little white supremacist talking points. Listen to this.
Gosh, I'd have to think of that or think about that for a while. I know that I had a very uncomfortable interview once with Denzel Washington about the remake of The Manchurian Candidate. And I think he totally misconstrued a question I asked and kind of.
No, he didn't. These suspected white supremacist females love trying to victimize people with their authoritative type of vibe and their authoritative subtle racism. And then when they get called on it, then they try to pretend to be victims. She was trying to be condescending with Denzel. He checked her in a smooth way. And, well, I was uncomfortable. And he misconstrued what I was trying to say. Like, this dumb nigger didn't understand, you know, my professional journalism, but that type of thing. She's being condescending, even explaining it. But here it is.
I'd have to think of that or think about that for a while. I know that I had a very uncomfortable interview once with Denzel Washington about the remake of The Manchurian Candidate. And I think he totally misconstrued a question I asked and kind of jumped all over me, and it was so uncomfortable.
Listen to this idiot. Listen to this piece of filth. Well, he kind of, you know, he jumped all over me, and it was just so uncomfortable. He jumped over me with his big black cock. He jumped all over you. The man is sitting there talking to your dumb ass. Listen to the way she's wording this. And she knows what she's doing. They're using all of this little sexual innuendo. Jumped all over you. Give me a break. See, this is a lot of that fantasy shit that these suspected white supremacist women be having. They fantasize. When a black man comes in the room, they see a big black dick. And then all their fantasies, they start projecting. He jumped on me and hit me in the face with his balls. It was so uncomfortable. Stop it. Hold on.
I had a very uncomfortable interview once with Denzel Washington about the remake of The Manchurian Candidate. And I think he totally misconstrued a question I asked and kind of jumped all over me. And it was so uncomfortable because he was doing it with Meryl Streep, who mm-hmm. played the Angela Lansbury character, you know, the politician's mom or right. whatever. And I just remember leaving it and thinking, God, you know, I must have, I don't think I said anything wrong. I don't know what happened. Anyway, I think he must have been having a really bad day because he later wrote a big check to my colon cancer organization, which I thought was super sweet.
And that's why he didn't like the way this dirtbag was asking the questions. Listen how accusatory she is. Maybe he wrote the check because he wants to help people with colon cancer. She's projecting all of this other nefarious shit on this man doing a generous deed. And by the way, Denzel does a lot of shit. He donates to a lot of charity. So he's not doing it out of no damn guilt. That's you projecting. Yeah, he must have felt bad because he wrote a big check to my charity. And he must have felt guilty with his black cock. You piece of fucking filth.
I love him. I admire him so much. He's one of my favorite actors. But I remember walking out and feeling really kind of shaken that he had kind of gone after me in a way that was.
Please. I was shaken. He'd gone after me. Listen to the words she's saying. Listen to it. He jumped over me. I was so shaken. He'd gone after me. Oh, it's just Becky splaining all day. All this sexual innuendo. No, he didn't. He didn't go after you. Correcting your dumbass question is him not going after you. Oh, that uppity nigger didn't know his place. He didn't know his place, and he victimized me with his big black words. His big black words were just so shaken. It shaken me so, my breast and my cooter. It was just so devastating. He'd gone after me, and I fell, and my vagina was exposed. Stop, oh haggard Katie Couric. That's fantasy talk. Stop.
I'd have to think of that or think about that for a past and kind of jumped all over me. And it was so uncomfortable because he was doing it with Meryl Streep, who played the Angela Lansbury character, you know, the politician's mom or whatever. And I just remember leaving it and thinking, God, you know, I must have, I don't think I said anything wrong. I think I don't know what happened. Anyway, I think he must have been having a really bad day because he later wrote a big check to my colon cancer organization, which I thought was super sweet. And I love him. I admire him so much. He's one of my favorite actors. But I remember walking out and feeling really kind of shaken that he had kind of gone after me in a way that was completely weirdly uncalled for. But of course, politicians all the time.
These people are so fucking phony. It's ridiculous. You know what this reminds me of? Y'all remember that time that MTV reporter, is it Tabitha Soren? I think that's her name. Y'all remember her from MTV? And she interviewed Tupac back in the 90s and recent, like a few years ago. Put my Mac and music back on. A few years ago, I think, help me in the chat room. Was it Tabitha Soren? I think that was her name. She did the same bullshit with Tupac. Y'all remember that? She was talking this same stupid shit. But she, that woman took it a step further. She was up here pretending like Tupac was trying to get at her. You know, when I interviewed Tupac, I felt that he was totally flirting with me. And I was so uncomfortable. I didn't know. He just got out of jail. You know, he was a felon. I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, he was in jail for sexual assault. And I really didn't know what. He was flirting with me. He wanted me. Get the fuck out of here with you haggard white women thinking that niggas are just sitting around ogling over you. And I blame dusty niggas who pumped these women's heads up. Tupac wasn't checking for her like that. And that Tabitha woman, she took it a step further. I went to Death Row Records and they were frisking me and they were frisking all over my body. They were frisking me and I just felt, I felt naked. You know, she was stopping short of saying rape. She was dancing around the word rape. Yeah, they were feeling my body. They were checking. The security was checking me from the front and the back with their big black hands. And I just felt like I was naked and there was a big black cock just coming from every which way. I didn't know what to do. That's fantasy. That's that fantasy that these suspected white supremacist women be trying to project, but they have to project it in a way that they're victims so they can't make it seem like they're really desiring that type of black male attention. That's fantasy projection. And Katie knew exactly what she was doing using those words. She knew exactly what she was doing. She knew that if she used those words in that interview, it would get headlines and the other white supremacists who were on code, they were going to run with it and go along with it and help her create this damn sexual innuendo narrative as if Denzel did something to this woman and all he did was correct her bogus ass questions. So you got to be very careful about these around these suspected white supremacists. And right now they're getting bold now because, see, she couldn't pull this shit back then. Right now, you know, white supremacy is hellified and on the move. So she feels like, okay, this is my opportunity to put my bid in. See, we got to watch these liberal, so-called liberal allies. See, we ain't got no allies, black people. We ain't got no allies. It's all us, man. And let me tell you something. These other groups, they tell us to go for shit they wouldn't go for in a million years. Bill de Blasio, he announced in New York the other day, he was like, hey, some of these people in these Jewish communities, y'all gonna have to, we're gonna have to stop warning you about going out in large ass groups. Because out there in New York, in the Jewish areas, the COVID is rampant out there. They're spreading COVID like crazy because these people won't stay at home. They won't stop congregating in large groups. So they just keep warning him. And de Blasio said, hey, the Jewish community, we're gonna have to start enforcing this thing at one point. And boy, they got on his ass. They made him bow down and apologize. They made him apologize. They were like, oh no, you're not going to associate our name with no damn COVID. The Asians have told them, hey, don't associate our name with COVID. Don't say that Asians have COVID. Now, it's perfectly fine to say the Negros have it. See, black folks, we got to stop allowing these people to use us as the face of negative things. And we shouldn't be the face of COVID because we don't have it in large numbers like that. Don't let them screw the numbers. They're using these percentages. Like in California, it was like 21 people who died of COVID who were black. And that's the least amount. But then they flip it and say, well, based on the percentage and the numbers and the per capita and the disproportionation and all this, boy, we got to really look at these black numbers. Only 21 people died out here as opposed to thousands of other people. You understand? But black folks, we so damn desperate for attention, we think that they, white mommy and white daddy, is saying this shit about us because they care, and they don't. We have to let them know, don't use us for negative things. We have to start calling that out on a regular basis. Other folks know this. They're not going to let that happen to them at all. They don't let it happen to them at all. Do not use that with niggers. Don't sit up and put our face with the damn COVID. You can tell the niggers that it's your fault and you need to step up because those niggers have low self-esteem. We don't. They'll go for that. We won't. You understand? So we got to start watching this stuff. Watch how these people present certain things to us, black people in Hollywood. You got to watch how they talk to you. See, right now, Denzel is one of the last real ones. You know, Denzel, Sam Jackson, you know, some of these are some real cats. Denzel is a rare breed in Hollywood. And they've always had a problem with that, but he's kind of been scandal-proof. So they'll try to invent something on him. You understand? If a black man is heterosexual and he talks with confidence and he has the audacity to correct a suspected white supremacist who's asking him something dumb, all of a sudden, y'all try to go into victim mode. That's because, see, the only black person or the type of black person they're content with or they're okay with in the Hollywood system, you know, they want you to be Billy Porter. See, they want you to be switching around, sashaying and sequin jumpsuits and dresses. You know, that's when everything is all gravy with you. But if you're not a Billy Porter, that's problematic right there. If these people ain't got no bussy evidence on you, see, that's what they do. They be out here fucking these niggas in Hollywood. So they toe the line on them. They know how to yank their chain a little bit. That's why these niggas don't get out of line. They know how to yank these niggas' chains because a lot of these niggas out here in Hollywood, and I hate to go there, but a lot of them had to really get into some bussy activity to really get popping. Not all of them. There's some talented folks out here, but some of them had to spread them clappers open. A lot of them had to step up, if you know what I'm talking about. You dig? So with Denzel, this is a brother who's been, you know, he's a heterosexual man raising good kids, has a strong black wife. That's not the image that they want to show. That's not the image they want to show. You understand? Somebody mentioned Will and Jada, and it sounds like they're going through some stuff right now. Hopefully they'll be all right. Speaking of that, do y'all know the show The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Do y'all know that was originally, they wanted MC Shan to be in that. In The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, they wanted MC Shan to be in that show. That was going to be a vehicle for MC Shan, because MC Shan was on Cold Chillin' Warner Brothers at the time, and The Fresh Prince was based on the life, I think, of Benny Medina. Benny Medina is a gay black man who was a big exec over at Warner Brothers. Oh, I'm gonna give y'all some inside shit. Oh yeah, a lot of y'all don't know that. Yeah, Benny Medina is a gay dude, or bisexual or whatever. But he was a big time dude in the industry. He was a big guy, big time dude over there at Warner Brothers. Big time dude at Warner Brothers. And Shan was like, there was some bussy activity going on that he was uncomfortable with. So it didn't work out. MC Shan was like, yeah, there's some stuff going on over there that I'm not trying to spread these clappers. I'm not trying to spread the clappers. Yeah, a lot of folks don't know. Look that up, by the way. Look it up. That's just some inside stuff there. There's some inside stuff. But like I said, man, we got to watch these folks, especially some of these so-called fake liberals. We got to watch this stuff. Because what they're doing now, family, a lot of these folks in Hollywood and in the music industry, they're getting our talking points now. Because, see, we've been on the right path, and we've been on the steady path of talking about black empowerment. You know, I haven't ventured off that at all. I've stayed on message, stayed on code, and enough of you are staying on message and staying on code, where now the Hollywood system and the liberal system, they're adopting our words and our talking points. But you got to be very careful, because you can't trust them, because what they'll do, they'll talk our language and then they will flip back into the bullshit language. For example, the Congressional Black Caucus, they were talking about how they are going to get in front of the whole COVID thing, and black people, black Americans got COVID, and the Congressional Black Caucus, they're going to get on top of it. When you hear that in the articles they were showing, it had a big ass picture of Jim Clyburn. So you already know it's about to be some bullshit. When you see Clyburn's ass, it's about to be some bullshit. So you read the article, they start, it's the same technique. It's the same technique, family. We have to watch out for this technique. They've been trying this technique over and over again, and we will not fall for it. But the thing is, they have no other techniques. They don't have any other techniques, so they have to keep using this, but they have to get different people to do it. That's the only thing they got going. So what they had the Congressional Black Caucus talking about COVID and black Americans, all black Americans got the COVID, all black Americans got the COVID. So we're going to put together a committee and a task force to address minorities, to address people of color. And there's the trick bag right there. The headline will say black, black, black. And then when you get into it, they start talking about minorities and people of color. Family, that's the trick bag right there. Always look out for the minority and people of color word. Whenever you see them say something about black folks, read the fine print. The devil is in the details. They always try this. This is the go-to technique, and we have not fallen for it yet. But keep reading for the code words and the fine print. Do not be impressed when they get big headlines talking about black folks. Kamala Harris tried to do the same thing. Kamala Harris wants to talk about an economic plan for black people. Then you get down to it. Well, we're going to talk about baby bonds for everybody, and it'll trickle down to blacks and minorities and people. Look up. We ain't falling for that. Everything they talk about is going to have to be black from top to bottom. Black from discussion and black to resources. When it comes to the resources, it's still going to have to be black. Now, what they've done, they've gotten Puffy. They've gotten Diddy. And Diddy's making headlines now because he started using our talking points. Diddy has used our exact talking points. But when you start looking at the fine print, he's starting to pivot immediately. Now, this is a video Puffy put on his page the other day. Now, listen to this.
The black vote is not going to be for free. We're going to have to see some promises. You know, what are we getting in return for our vote? Nothing has changed for black America. And in order for us to vote for Biden, we can't be taken for granted like we always are because we're supposed to be Democrats or because people are afraid of Trump. It's whoever's going to take care of our community, whoever wants to make a deal. It's business at this point. You know, we can't trust politicians. You know, so we want to know very clearly, just like Trump made it clear that he wanted to build the wall, Biden needs to make it clear that he's going to change the lives and quality of life of black and brown people, else he can't get the vote. I will hold the vote.
Okay, you saw that? He was talking black, 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 man, black. He's using all our talking points. Puffy was using all of our talking points. And then at the end, Biden is going to have to do something for black and brown. He slipped that in there real quick. He slipped that in there. No, Diddy, we ain't playing that. And Diddy, you knew what you were doing. He didn't do that by mistake. We're going to have to call this stuff out. I don't give a shit about being invited to the Rock Nation brunch and all that dumb shit if everybody in the black community is going to get a finesse bag thrown on them. See, I ain't with that bullshit. We're going to have to start talking right or everybody's going to get called out with the bullshit. Diddy knew what he was doing. That wasn't cool. We saw that. Now, the same day, Diddy did another video. And they got some kind of nonprofit going, something going. Now, this is the same day. Later that day, it didn't take him long to pivot the language. Look at this. Listen to this.
Attention to all my entrepreneurs, all my minority-owned small businesses, all my independent contractors, all my self-employed hustlers, all my churches. Check this out. There has been billions of dollars in stimulus money made available for us. But if we don't know where to go to fill out the forms and how to fill them out and who to send them to, then we can't get a piece of the pie, our fair share, okay? Last time, we only got 2%. Now, we need to get our fair share, okay? So all minority-owned businesses, go to ourfairshare.com right now so we can help you through this process. Love, ourfairshare.com.
Okay, you saw what he did. You saw what Diddy did. Now, he talked in the first video, black, 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 brown, black, 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 black. In this video, when it comes to some stimulus money, minority, 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 minority. Everything was minority when it came to getting the piece of the pie. That ain't cool, Diddy. That's some bullshit right there. That ain't cool at all. That's a trick bag. And you go to that ourfairshare.com. It's minority, minority, minority. It's a trick bag. We're not going for that minority bullshit. We ain't going for it. Family, the minute they say minority, we're done. The minute we go for the minority garbage, we're done. They know that. When we go along with that, that's the trick bag. We're not going to get anything. We're done with these slave deals. That's a goddamn slave deal where black folks do all the suffering, then everybody benefits from our suffering. Fuck all these other minorities. There is no minority coalition, dude. We don't owe nobody nothing. We ain't doing the we all in this together bullshit game no more. That's done. All of these other so-called minority groups have come from anti-black cultures. They're too anti-black. We're done. They're going to have to hold their own nuts. We're looking out for us. We're done with that minority coalition bullshit that has never, ever, ever worked. You have Hispanics out here killing black folks left and right, joining police forces and murdering us left and right. You have Asians all over the world beating up black folks. I don't give a fuck about no damn minority coalition because there is not one. Black folks, stop being afraid to say black. You think if you say black, you're going to scare white folks. You're going to scare them anyway. Don't matter. Stop being afraid. Stop being punks. Stop trying to walk on eggshells with these folks. It's time to tell them what we need, tell them what we want, and tell them what we're going to get. And if we don't get it, the consequences are we'll let your political party fall and burn to the ashes. Y'all not scaring us with Trump. Well, we can't let Trump get there. Ain't nobody falling for that. And let me tell you something. I tweeted this today. Listen to me. Because what the Democrats want to do, they want to dangle the promise, not even actually giving us anything, but just the promise of trickle-down secondary benefits. We're not going to do nothing for you directly, but you'll get some trickle-down, secondary, indirect benefits, hopefully. But we never get them with the Democrats. Let me tell you something. If we're going to play that game, Trump has trickled down more secondary, indirect benefits than the Democrats. If we're going to go there. Trump has not done anything directly for black people, but the indirect things Trump has done has actually benefited us. How so? At least Trump has gotten a lot of illegal immigrants out of here, and that has opened up jobs for a certain number of black people. Now, that's an indirect thing. He didn't do it to help us, but just the indirect consequence of him getting out a lot of illegals, that has helped us, the indirect consequence of it. So we're going to go from talking about indirect benefits that has helped, and I'm not satisfied with indirect benefits. If I rock with anybody or support them, I want to get direct benefits. So we don't have to support Trump in order to get these secondary benefits that's being provided from him going after some of these other groups. You understand? We can take advantage of certain situations. We can take advantage of certain indirect situations. And the Democrats are trying to tell us, well, Trump is racist, Trump is racist. Yeah, so are you all. So are the Katie Couric's. You guys, the liberals, are just as bad, if not worse. Liberal racism. And I won't even say conservative, because most black people are conservative. I'll say Republican or right wing. I'll say that right wing, because black people, we're pretty much conservative because we've been on this land longer than anybody. We've been on this land, black people, we've been on this land longer than anybody. I dare you to challenge me on that. Black people have been on this land longer than anybody. See, this is our land. See, I want black folks to get into that mindset too. This is our land. Black skin people have been on this land for thousands of years. There were no red people. The whole red Native American myth, that's a myth. It was black skin people on this land. I'm going to say that again. Black skin people going back to the Folsom people. And then when certain people migrated from Asia over the Bering Straits, you know, they had the long hair and the skin was a tad bit lighter, but for the most part, the Aboriginal people here were black-skinned people. And the black folks who were imported over here by the Spanish and the English, we mixed in with a lot of the other darker-skinned people here. So this is our land. And we built the United States. There was no United States. There was no America until we built it. I always want to remind black folks of that. This is our land. White people tried to build a land here and could not. the Europeans failed when they tried to do it by themselves. They failed over and over and over again. They failed. It was black people that was needed to build this thing. You understand? Let's be very clear. So we have to start owning our heritage as foundational black Americans, being concerned about our group and getting tangibles and benefits for our group. We got to stop allowing the white corporate media to push out celebrities who they pay. Anytime there's a celebrity that's connected to the white corporate media and that came up off the white corporate media, let's be very clear. A lot of them are going to be compromised for the most part. That's just the reality. When they are connected to the white media and they're dependent upon the white media, most of them are already compromised. So that's why they like to push them out here to be the spokespersons, because they know those niggas are compromised, and they know that black folks, when we see folks on television all the time, we think, okay, that person should be some kind of authority. See, we got to get off that thing. We got to get off the whole black leader thing. And they like to push that black leader bullshit to us, because what happens is that plays on laziness. See, they're like, these niggas are lazy. And we know our niggas. See, our niggas, they want somebody else to do the fighting and do all the work for them while they sit back. And we got to understand, everybody is the leader, because the code is the leader. The code is that we're following a code of conduct, and that's the leadership. This is why when you harm a white person, they're not going to protest and march nowhere. Like the other day, they arrested a white woman for going out to the park with her kids. White people showed up at the arresting officer's house. This week, a black kid up there in Northern California got the brakes beat off of him by a suspected white supremacist race soldier cops. Niggas out here just talking about, well, we need some justice. We need somebody to help us get justice. When somebody harms your family, you gotta handle that. When somebody harms your family, you are the leader. It's time to handle that. Up there in Rancho Cordova, something like that, up there in Northern Cal. But you gotta handle that when these people, when there's a non-justice against you and your family, you better be down to handle that. See, we wait on some kind of leader to do things for us. And a lot of niggas out here waiting on settlement checks. We're copping out over a damn settlement check. We're selling our families for settlement checks. Notice you don't see white people trying to get no damn settlement check from some shit the police have done. They don't try to get no settlement check. They're going to show up to their homes with guns. You understand? Now, there's some black people who take it there. There was a brother out in New Orleans, as a matter of fact. Not New Orleans, in Baton Rouge, a black dude. And look how they frame things. See, when white people challenge the police or go after the police or whatever, they talk about their patriots, and they almost talk about them in a positive connotation. They arrested a white boy a few months ago, I think, and they didn't arrest him. They actually killed a white dude. They served a search warrant on him. I think this was in Pennsylvania somewhere. They went to his house for a warrant, and they ended up killing this white boy. And other white people, they started trying to retaliate. There was a white boy who was going to start shooting random cops on Facebook Live, but they caught him. So they were already plotting revenge. And the way they were portraying this guy, they were talking about he was a patriot this and he was a patriot that. This guy was about to go shoot at cops. Now, this week down in Baton Rouge was a black dude. He shot two cops, two white cops down in Baton Rouge, and killed one. He shot two white cops down in Baton Rouge. They went to his house for something. He was a suspect in another incident. I don't know what happened. I don't know all the details, but he started busting. And the media, they're like, a crazed gunman. Oh, they're using all the racial code words on his ass. A crazed thug. A crazed degenerate hoodlum. They're using all the code words on this guy. They don't give him the patriot words and all that. We don't get that. They don't give no niggas that. You dig? So we got to understand the game out here. We got to understand that we are the leaders. The leadership starts with us. The other day, I was talking to a sister. We were talking about the Haitian Revolution, and we're talking about my movie 1804. We were on my Instagram Live, and we're talking about what went wrong after the Haitian Revolution. Because, see, when we study military, we have to study it from a scientific standpoint. We have to study it from that point. And in Haiti, when they beat the French, beat the Spanish, beat all the white supremacists and got them off the island of Haiti, Dessalines, he was ready to rebuild. Because Haiti, they used scorched earth to get rid of the French. They had to burn a lot of things and destroy a lot of things. So it was time to rebuild. So after they got liberated, a lot of niggas was on some, hey, shit, we got white daddy up out of here. That means it's party time. No more work for us. And Dessalines was like, oh, no. No, we got more work to do because now we have to rebuild this thing and build an economy and build a society so that we can thrive. So now the real hard work has begun. And shit, they got rid of the niggas. They killed Dessalines. Dessalines was about serious business, as he should have been. See, that's the thing people don't want to get into. And that's another reason why a lot of Negroes don't want to really rebel against the system of white supremacy. Because you know what? After you get done with the white supremacists, that means you got to get up in the morning and start building. That means you got to do all the hard work yourself. That means party time is over. When the white supremacists is out of here, party time is over. Ain't no more smoking blunts, drinking, and all that stupid shit. Ain't no more twerking on the gram. See, without white mommy and daddy doing all the heavy work, that means we got to get up and do it. And a lot of niggas, they know that. So it's like, oh, hell no. These some good white peoples. All white peoples ain't bad. That's where that comes from. That's why the hood and dusty motherfuckers are the main ones who don't want to challenge white supremacy. You notice that? The main people who do not want to challenge white supremacy are usually hood, dusty motherfuckers. Because they're good. I get to smoke, I get to drink, I get to fuck, I get to have kids that white mommy and white daddy takes care of, the state takes care of them. I got it made. Why do I need to get up and build a damn society when white mommy and white daddy's doing it for me? I can be a perpetual child. I'm a big ass kid. I'm a kid all my life. Why would I want white mommy and white daddy to go anywhere? I don't want y'all niggas getting into power. Y'all niggas talking all that black empowerment. Y'all niggas gonna make me work, and when you damn sure right, let us get in power. Oh, it ain't gonna be no more hood rats. Ain't gonna be no more dusty niggas. Oh, that's gonna go. Let some real players get up in power. See, that's what they don't like. See, that's what we gotta watch out for. You gotta watch out for those dusty content niggas. Because when you get a colonizer off your ass, the real hard work begins. Just like black people who run businesses. See, a lot of folks be like, I want to run my own business because I'm tired of working with these white folks. And you think if you get a business that you're going to get the layup on your ass and money is just going to flow to you every damn day. It don't work like that. That's why a lot of niggas don't want to start businesses. Because if you work for yourself, and all my black people who are business owners, you know how it is. You know the hard work you got to do to do your own business. You are from sun up to sundown. You don't really rest. See, no, it's hard work running your own shit. Doing all the little details. See, a lot of niggas think that it's just you sit up and the money is just going to fall through. They don't know how you got to sit up with your accountant. You got to sit up with your lawyers. You got to file paperwork. You got to file payroll. You got to have insurance for employees. You got to have an unemployment furlough available. They take that out of some of your resources. They have a reserve fund. You got to fill those W-9s, those W-2s, the tax information. You got to file on time. You got to file with the state. You got to file federal. All the little details it take to just simply run your shit. Just the paperwork is a lot of work. Just on paper, just the little paperwork you got to file is draining. Forget about just going up every day and making sure everything you have is in stock. Making sure the employees are coming in on time. Making sure you get your inventory out. Making sure you, especially if you have your own business or location, that's a whole different thing. Making sure all the light bills and the gas bills paid. That's work. It ain't glamorous. See, niggas think, you know, when you work a job, all you got to do is go in, do the same little thing for 8 hours, come home, wait for your check to come, and then try to ball out with your check. You understand? But when you run some shit, you got to put in work all the time. And a lot of folks don't want that kind of responsibility. See, we got to start getting into that mindset. See, this is why we got to start getting into the mindset of owning and running things. See, we try to show out for each other. Everything is about flossing for each other. We want to stand around looking at each other, flossing, showing off nigga trinkets. That's what Neely Fuller says. We've become accustomed to and we value more than anything showing out for other black folks. We love getting in big crowds of niggas showing off nigga trinkets and then go back to nothing. We got to get off that. We got to start thinking like bosses. You understand? This is why it's so easy for the white supremacists to get niggas to undermine us if you're doing something progressive. For example, did y'all hear the Crenshaw Mall is being bought? It was sold. The Crenshaw Mall, and everybody was talking about this on social media, the Crenshaw Mall is being sold for like $100 million to this investment group. And from what I understand, they're going to make some office buildings there. They're going to take it and convert it into office buildings. And everybody's sad. A lot of people in LA, oh my God, this is horrible. This is horrible. This is horrible. The problem is, let's be clear. A lot of people weren't going to the Crenshaw Mall like that. Everybody's going over there to the Fox Hill and all these other places. But people weren't really going to the Crenshaw Mall like they were back in the day. Somebody saw my throwback pic. I put a pic of me standing in front of the Crenshaw Mall back in the 90s. I put it on my Twitter page. But understand this. See, we should have been investing in that. We should have been investing in that. Shout out to Malik's Bookstore. There's a brother, Malik's Bookstore. That was the first place to sell any of my books. He started selling my books in the 90s. Malik Books is still there at the Crenshaw Mall. So there's a lot of sentimental value to it. But, you know, forget about the sentimental. We should have been out here investing in that. And also, we have to understand, and we know it's getting gentrified. When they get in the Crenshaw Mall, you know it's really getting gentrified. Because they're building that train line, the Crenshaw train line, right down Crenshaw, and that real estate, all those business real estate, that business real estate is about to go through the roof. That business real estate is about to go through the roof. I think that train line, the Crenshaw line, is going to be done by next year. Shout out to Diana Richardson for putting $20 on the Melanoid Ministries. But that Crenshaw train line is going to be done next year. And the commercial real estate is going to be very hot because they're also building that football stadium. So all that real estate around Inglewood, Crenshaw, that's about to just go through the roof. As we know, a lot of people over in Inglewood, their rent has been doubled and tripled over there. They're gentrifying and pricing people out. You understand? And remember, the Marathon store is right off Crenshaw, right off Crenshaw and Slauson. That train line is going right through there. That's why my man Nipsey was smart enough to buy that real estate. He owned the lot over there where the Marathon store was. Nipsey owned that entire lot. They had been trying to get Nipsey and his brother out that lot for years. They would go up there, raid them for different bullshit reasons. They were going out of their way to get them out of there because they understood, and I'm talking about the powers that be, meaning the white supremacists, they knew that that real estate was going to be valuable. And Nipsey knew it too, so he invested early. That real estate over there by the Marathon store is about to shoot through the roof. So that's why you think it's a coincidence that a random hater with two guns and a getaway driver just happened to fucking show up? You think that nigga just happened to show up because he was a hater? I don't believe that. I never believed that. And it was too many informant ass niggas going out of their way to try to push the "we is our own worst enemy" narrative. It ain't about no conspiracy. Black folks just, we our worst enemy. We just don't like each other. Get the fuck out. I don't believe that bullshit. Yeah, there's some hate niggas out there, but there's some deceitful white supremacists out there who will orchestrate a hit. Don't nobody in the streets really believe that that was just a random damn hater that showed up like that. And if they're buying the Crenshaw Mall for $100 million, they already know they can make a billion off of it. If they're spending that much money for the Crenshaw Mall, $100 million, you're going to make a few billion off of it. You already know what you're about to make. So this further shows that these folks knew the property value over there was about to go sky high. And whenever we start getting valuable property, then all of a sudden we start getting killed. That happened in Wilmington back in the late 1800s. Black folks owned that prime land out there. White supremacists just came in and started killing. Tulsa, black folks owned the prime real estate, making millions. White folks came in and start killing. You think they wouldn't do that now? See, this is why we got to be in positions where we protect our folks like that. When we have people doing things like that for the community, we got to make sure they're good. The minute we hear anything, any kind of rumblings, the minute we see a strange face, we got to be on that shit. You understand? Yeah, Rosewood too. Same thing with Rosewood. Anytime black folks have been in a position where they're doing good financially, all of a sudden, the killing star. Remember, those lynchings, many of those business owners were being lynched. A lot of people who were being lynched in Jim Crow were black business owners. That's why y'all would see them in suits. Many of them were black business owners. So we got to understand the game, man. Our enemy is systematic white supremacy. Ain't nobody, anybody trying to deviate from that, they're an enemy of black society. Anybody trying to deviate from that, they are an enemy of black society. So we got to stop being afraid to build. See, we've been partying too long. Party time is over. We can stop partying now. We think that we're just going to party our lives away. Fuck that. Partying is good once every blue moon. We can't make every damn day a party. It's time to build. It's time to put in some damn work. It's time to put the blunts and the drink down and all the dumb shit. And it's time to get in the habit of building. Get in the habit of forging relationships with people around the world, just in case you need to trade. That's what I do when I go to Africa. I was over there talking to people about, you know, their export product. What can they export? If shit goes bad, what kind of relationships can we get with people where we can get what we need and establish trade? We need to be doing that now. We need to be doing that now. For example, what if these white supremacists just drop dead one day because of a random disease? They're genetically predisposed to diseases and sicknesses anyway. Their numbers are already dropping. So let's say black folks just stay on the coon train and white mommy and white daddies, They just happen to fall out and die. Then what you gonna do? Who's gonna control the water supplies? Who's gonna control the electric fields, the electrical industry? Who's gonna control the shipping and the trade routes? Who can fly planes out here? You understand? We gotta start looking at that. We can't talk about we need to get together, just all this cliche bullshit. We need to hear what Puffy and Beyonce got to say. No, because when white mommy and daddy is gone, ain't no more Puffy and Beyonce. They're propped up by white mommy and white daddy. You understand? And that, no shade to Beyonce, by the way. I like Beyonce. But we got to get into the mindset of building. It's time to build. It's time to not be afraid to do for each other and say that we're doing it for each other and not be afraid to offend white people, because that's what niggas, black folks are too afraid to offend white people. That's why niggas always talking about black and brown. Niggas say and brown because it doesn't sound as militant if you just say black. You know, if you just say black, white people are going to be uncomfortable. I don't give a damn about their comfort level. It's okay for things to be black. This is why the other day, yesterday on Twitter, if y'all follow me on Twitter, I gave away like 5 stacks to black folks. I said, look, black people, since they're talking about we're disproportionately affected by the COVID, the first 100 black folks who drop their Cash App, I'm giving you $50. And that's exactly what I did. There's a couple of white folks tried to slip in there. This ain't for you. Remember, I'm a race baiter. So don't you slip your ass in there with your hand out. Don't you do it, Karen. Don't do it, Colby. Don't you do it, buddy. Because I want y'all to get into the mindset of, look, we can do things for the black folks without us being afraid of saying we're doing it for black folks. I don't give a damn about nobody talking about reverse racism and reverse discrimination bullshit. Everybody looks out for their group. We have to stop being afraid to look out for ours. It's just that simple. And again, I do this because this is my third time doing it. I've given out like $15,000 to black folks randomly. And I do it on the fly because I don't want to give white supremacists an opportunity to start making fake black accounts. So I do it real fast. I do it on a whim because if I announce I'm going to do it on a certain day, then all of a sudden I get a bunch of G-Money 345 websites and you'll see all these bullshit accounts with all these old played out names. Leroy Jones 213. You dig? Starquisha the Weave Queen 35 and all that dumb shit. So, you know, I got to be very weary and careful about, you know, screening folks. You got to watch out for the mayonnaise militia because, you know, they'll start trying to impersonate us online when it comes to some tangibles coming through. You know? Yeah. So we got to watch out for that. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, man. I got a doctor's appointment. They got to check my damn gout foot. They ain't check my foot. You know what's funny, man? My my goddamn gardener died. I don't want to laugh. Nigga, my gardener was here yesterday. They working on my backyard. They fixing the grass on my backyard. My gardener was here. Nigga, it was a new dude showed up today. Like, where's Juan? I said, Juan died. I said, God damn. He died? Shit. I said, my nigga, okay. That was very random. He had a heart attack and died. I said, shit. 2020 is a bitch, ain't it? I don't even want to make light of it, but it was, you know. Yeah, my nigga, he died. It was just a new dude in my backyard. I'm like, who in the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this guy? Somebody was laying down shards of grass in my backyard. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? Where's Juan? Juan died. He what? Juan died of what? Did he have the corona? How did I can die? I finished. That's another thing, too. A motherfucker came to get that money, too. Juan died, and another motherfucker came right to get some of that damn money. So that didn't stop shit. His homie didn't even mourn him. See, we be out here fucking around. One of us died, and then, oh, I got to take off 3 weeks and get over this shit. His homie was right out there early this morning in my yard, trimming and hedging trees, getting that fucking money, and I ain't mad at him. With a We Miss Juan shirt on. Shit. He ain't giving a damn. He's getting his damn money. I don't want to make light of it. Shout out to Juan. I'm really not trying to make light of it. I swear I'm not trying to make light of anybody's death. I'm not trying to make light of it, but he didn't miss a beat. He did not miss a beat at all. But anyway, RIP to Juan. We miss Juan too. Shit. All right. I'm out of here, guys. Y'all be good, man.